This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Health and Living. I'm Troy Intik. Basketball is not a difficult game to understand compared to cricket. We do have live NBA games broadcasted here on satellite television. We have the facilities. Many public parks here have a basketball court. We have shooting hoops in gaming arcades. We also don't need as many players to shoot hoops compared to other popular weekend sports like futsal or football. So what's stopping us from becoming a basketball powerhouse? Could it be our height? Today, consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Harjit Singh is going to give me some answers. Dr. Harjit, welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
We're almost through the first month.
Yeah. So before getting to the meat of today's discussion, what are your thoughts on basketball? Do you follow the NBA or any other league?
No, I think you've probably, I mean, I treat basketball-related injuries in sporting people, but I mean, I don't follow the NBA. I mean, it's interesting. I feel that among all the team sport, basketball is the definition of testing your athletic capability to the max.
Why so?
Yeah, because I think basketball, I mean, people who excel in basketball, the criteria that you actually require, forget about the physical characteristics, the height or, you know, the span, the reach. I think you have to be very explosively athletic. That means, you know, that split-second movement, being just a little bit faster than the other player, it's not like you have time to actually think and move. Everything happens very fast. So I personally never played basketball, but I used to look at, you know, my basketball school team and district team and look like, these guys are doing it, man. This is what a game is supposed to be.
So you think it's more taxing on the body compared to, say, futsal?
I think played well, any sport is not going to be injurious. But if you don't do it well and you don't take care of your body, then anything is going to give you trouble. But the intensity at which basketball is played makes mistakes less forgiving, and you tend to get bad injuries.
I mean, most students start playing, most kids start playing in their school's basketball court or the courts around their house on the park. And so they wouldn't know that, they wouldn't be mindful of all the injuries that can happen to them. Do you see more players getting hurt from basketball as opposed to other sports, or is it not something that's an outlier?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a issue. I mean, people get injured everywhere, and rightfully so. You have mentioned that, you know, a lot of people pick it up just around the taman, and you normally have a good player or someone you look up to playing around in the evening, and then you join that person and you pick up the skills. Sometimes you don't pick up the skills correctly, but as you develop interest in the game, you tend to try to up your ability, and then you tend to modify and correct your mistakes. So I always feel that the most important thing for a child when they get involved in any game, especially basketball, is to enjoy it. And it's quite addictive. I mean, if you look at NBA, forget about the quality of basketball that's showcased there. That's extremely high. It's fun to watch. But look at the hype and the marketing going on. I mean, if there is a business, there is a business of basketball. The way, you know, you have this, the draft, and that's an event. Then you have even their college-based tournaments. You know, they have terms for that, you know, something Sunday and crazy madness. Don't know what. They keep on
March
having
madness
terms.
Like
March madness. And that creates hype. Hype creates interest, and interest creates a population that is going to get involved in it. So when you bring up the fact that how are we here doing it, the ground root, the grassroots, I think they are very active. Okay, and development of the game, like any game in Malaysia, is ongoing. There is a structure to it. I don't know why we are not as good as Philippines. I think they are the champions, right? The ASEAN champions currently.
Yeah, and because I think basketball is one of the most popular sports anyway, at least in terms of what you can see, right? We're driving around neighborhoods. Yeah. It's one of always either football or basketball because it's so accessible. The entry into the sport is so low. You just need a ball and a few people and you can play. But do you also see maybe certain nationality or ethnic group are better at this than most? Is it a cultural thing or do you think there is some genetic components to it?
No, I don't think there's a genetic component. Like, I think if basketball is predominantly dominated by the Chinese, right? I was figuring it out in the sense that probably in Chinese schools, basketball is the game number one. I mean, the other national level schools, maybe it's football or some other game, but I'm just speculating. But I do see a change because around where I work, there's a mixture of everyone playing basketball now. And even in our national team, I think that it's not 100% Chinese-based. But if you ask me whether there's a genetic element to it, no, maybe it's social. They just play the game a bit more.
But surely height has something to do with it.
Yeah, it's very tempting to say height is going to determine whether you're a good basketball player or not. But I don't think that's actually going to be the issue. Okay, height, yes. Unless you are athletic and tall, you're going to be tall, big, and not very functional because you're slow for the game. And I think that other than height, it's your reach which is going to be important. So, you know, your span, when your arms are right across, I think that's going to be a big, big positive point for you to play basketball well. But I think in a game like basketball, that ability to start off very fast, that explosive nature to your speed is essential. I think that you have to have the right character because this is a game where you will need to hone your skills to a very high level to be very, very effective. And whatever you learned wrongly, you have to have the ability to unlearn. That means you have to be coachable. And you have to be a team player. Previously, when I was in training for my fellowship, the way they selected the orthopedic candidates was, are you active in sporting activities? Obviously, if you want to do sports orthopedics. So they used to get candidates who said, yes, we are and these are. And they used to cone down into whether you were excelling in an individual sport or a team sport. Mm. So those who did well in a team sport had higher marks because then you become a team player. So do you understand where I'm getting that? Mm. For a game like basketball, being a team player also mirrors the way you are socially. Right. So I think that to be a good basketball player, you have to be a good team player, you have to mix well, you have to have the good body size to a certain extent, but you have to be very athletic.
And also in a team, you need the guard who is usually smaller and you have the center who is the biggest guy. And the star player, the shooting guard, is normally around the range of 6'5 to 6'9, and they are the most marketable because they have all the characteristics you just mentioned. They're explosive, they can dribble, they're fast. And is there, I guess, a ideal physique for what the basketball game demands?
Okay. I think previously when it started off, you have certain positions having the advantage that if you're small and fast and you're nimble, then you probably play in certain positions and the center has to be the guy who's the tallest or the second tallest. But I think the modern game needs or demands that the players able to interchange between roles. And I think the biggest skill for the main player is the awareness of what's going on around him. That is very difficult to teach. That's what makes an elite athlete an elite athlete. You know, like in any sport, Lionel Messi, anybody, Maradona, and all the basketball players, the guy doesn't need to look what's happening around him and he can make that pass which allows an easy basket. I think awareness is the key. And the modern coaches and the modern selectors, they look for this. Apart from the fact that I think basketball, it's your ability to do a good jump shot. You know, your ability to move sideways very fast and also up and down. I think those are characteristics which are very, very important. So I think you can make up for lack of physique if you have the other parts, you know, honed out. That means you are fast. You have that extra quarter second. You know, you are a step away before the guy realizes what's going on. Then you can drive forward very, very fast. And I think awareness is very, very important because things are happening very fast. So if you're easily aware of what's going on around you without even looking up and you can read the game very, very well, you become an ideal basketball player.
Yeah, I think this trend of playmakers getting smaller and smaller, especially in the Spanish team where I think they are mostly 1.69 or 1.7 meter.
And they are very good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we move away from this. You know, you have to be burly, big. Even if you look at other games, everything is going on to abilities which involve you being athletic instead of a physical attribute.
I'm speaking today to Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, about the sport of basketball. Just because it's not a contact sport, well, actually, it is a little bit. Doesn't mean its players are spared the type of freak accident we expect to see on the football rugby field. And we'll talk more about the kinds of injuries that you can expect when playing basketball. You're listening to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, this is Health and Living. I'm Troy Antic. If you've just joined us, my guest today is Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon. We're talking about basketball. I think it is as popular as football, badminton in Malaysia. We're all familiar with the game. And so this, I think, is something that's very relatable to a lot of people. What are the common injuries for basketball players?
I think all you need to do is that you need to watch a basketball game and know that although essentially it's non-contact, there is quite a bit of contact involved. And there is a lot of rapid movements in multiple directions, changing directions. And then you actually have a lot of jumping and landing on an unideal circumstances when you land. And you have to be very athletic to do it. So the brunt of the injuries that I see tend to be at the knee and the ankle for the lower limbs, okay, and at the shoulder and the wrist. Now, you can have the injuries which are coming about due to, you know, a poor play and rest cycle. That means the overuse injuries, such as tendinitis, when the tendons where they insert to the bones, they get inflamed and painful. Or you can have the catastrophic acute injuries, particularly of the knee and ankle. You can rupture the ligaments in those joints. And those major injuries take you out of basketball. Unfortunately, the bad ones would require surgery to get you back to the game. And someone who has played basketball will want to go back to basketball. So they are very receptive towards surgery when they need it. When you look at the shoulder, then you have the rotator cuff and the muscles around the shoulder. And those injuries usually come about if the player is not well conditioned. And whatever weight work, whatever flexibility work, and it's not done to an optimal level. And he's warmed down after his activity is non-existent. Then you put yourself in a situation where you're going to get injured. Of course, all of us are mindful for these kind of injuries, and I always feel that if you have a good play and rest cycle to your game, you can avoid most of the overuse injuries. The acute injury is just luck. I mean, you play with someone who doesn't like you and it just nudges you when you're up in the air.
Right.
You can't control that.
What is a good play and rest cycle?
No, the thing, okay, look at the intensity at which the players are playing. Okay, we don't have a very strong professional league here. Okay, the NBA. Rio Olympics. Okay, NBA ended, and then it was Rio Olympics. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, a lot of them did not go for the Rio Olympics. Of course, a lot of them said there was Zika they were worried about and all, but I think there was a lack of rest. Now, in that professional league, I think there are like 80 over games.
Yeah, 82 games per season, I think.
82 games. Then you got the playoffs. You know what else is happening. And all of these games are high intensity games. So when you look at what I mean by an adequate play and rest cycle, it's like, okay, if I play basket, I start playing basketball, of course I would need more rest between the times that I go and play. But the professional players, they actually require normally, 3 days to actually start getting back into a rested state to play the next game or train further. So they are conditioned, they are trained that, okay, after this, we know that you will get back your conditioned level because you are a trained athlete after X amount of time. But unfortunately, sometimes the schedule doesn't allow that. The mere fact that we are so linked to the media now, that means television rights, how it's broadcasted, what time you play, the what do you all call that? The optimum viewing numbers, right? So you all look at all that, and sometimes games are scheduled like this, and that's a disaster. So even both the elite athlete, the college athlete, the social player, all of them are going to be caught by this lack of rest if they are not mindful.
A competitive game is very different from a leisure league game, right? Does that make a difference in terms of chances of getting an injury?
I think it works both ways. Okay, the professional athlete is there to play and win the game. Most of them have been doing it for years. They know that the potential for injury is always there, and there are rules which protect the player. Okay, now, I think all of them are very mindful about this. They do not put themselves or the opponent in a situation that the opponent can get injured. I mean, sometimes you accidentally elbow someone. But I don't think the time where you used to purposely do it, I think those days are over, unless people are crazy. Now, shift to the recreational player. Now, there is a little bit of like the Wild Wild West. Everybody goes and play, you know, the aggression is there. There's a little bit more of rivalry, and there is a chance of also getting injured, although the level of play is going to be lower. So if you look at only the intensity and the level of play, I think you can get injured both sides. It's multiple factors play a part.
What about the surface? How much is it a factor, indoor compared to outdoor? Is one better than the other?
I think if you're playing on a hard surface, you do put yourself to a higher chance of an injury, particularly the overuse injuries. And for each surface, I think the footwear has to be appropriate. You see, the basketball footwear is designed for forward, backward, sideward rotation. You know, so all the markings on the sole, it's higher up to the ankle, and the way you lace it and all that, there are specific ways to be appropriate. You can't just wear, we do that quite often. In the evening, not everybody wears a basketball shoe. You know, you're just wearing your normal sporting running shoe and you're playing basketball. So you're looking for trouble, because running shoes are actually designed for single direction movement. You know, the trail shoe. So each shoe, even your footwear, differs. So if you're going to prevent an injury, or you need to have the appropriate footwear, attire, skill set, play to the level that you're comfortable with, don't watch NBA the night before and try and do something funny. I think all this plays a role in keeping it safe, and then you have fun.
Yeah. Because I think we sometimes want to improve that so that we always go and play with someone who is better than you, and then you find out that it's actually out of your league, and then this mismatch in skill level causes you to do things irrationally.
You know, I think that when you always have to play with someone who's better than you. That has always been my motto. In the sense that if you play with people who are not as good as you are, you will never improve. There's zero improvement because you are the start. Okay, if you play with someone who's better than you, particularly if he or she is a good role model, they will guide you and you will improve. of course, you can take it wrongly and bad things can happen. But I think playing with someone who is better than you is always important. And the person who is better than you also carries a role. All of us have to understand that the biggest compliment that someone can pay to you when you are a teacher is to become better than you. I think it's difficult. You know, sometimes you train people and they get better than you. But I think that's the biggest compliment. You are a teacher because you want them to excel and now they become better than you. It's the biggest compliment that they're paying. It's just that your ego has to be able to accept it. But I think playing with people who are better allow you to improve.
It's a zero-sum game, isn't it? Because if you're playing with someone who is better than you, that means they're playing with someone who is not as good as them. And so, like, schoolyard picks can be especially brutal for your ego. And for a team sport, you need some teams who are roughly around the same skill level in order for it to be fun or competitive.
Every team sport, you have to have one person who's the leader. Okay, so the leader, okay, if you look at the five players in the team, they probably give you a value of, say, 80 points. But because you have the leader, he brings that 80-point team up to about 120 points because he can lead and he can egg them on. And that is also a characteristic of a good team player. So if you have a good leader in a basketball team, the whole team performs much better. Especially when things are down. The leader's quality is always determined when the chips are down.
Coming back to injury, you mentioned the problem of overuse. Shooting or aiming at the hoop, is that similar to the injuries that occur in racket sports, like badminton, for example?
So you look at the rapidness at which you do the movement, okay? In basketball, there's a lot. It's a very wristy game, okay? So it's a very wristy game, and the movements are very repetitive. So when you have repetitive movements and your technique is not ideal, you tend to get overuse injuries. The reason why we tend to get them coming to us for treatment a little later is that initially it doesn't trouble you so much. You get a bit of an ache, but you can play. Then that ache becomes pain, but you have a look, it's not swollen, you can still move it, and you think it's okay. And as you continue playing, it becomes a problem. When you can't shoot anymore, that's when you come to us. And then we tell you that, you know what, this is your tendon, this is the tissue around the wrist, this is your technique, and this is the reason why you have it. And this is what you need to know. You know, you need to rest, you need to stretch it out, and this is how long it's going to take. So that's the one that often is troubling, because by the time they come, there's already a delay. The acute one is easy. You fall, you break your wrist, you're going to come right away. So the overuse injury, I think it's educating the athlete that these kind of things happen. And I think the coach identifies it very early that, you know, okay, this guy has a problem and let's go see the physio or the sports therapist.
Right. So good warm-up and cool-down techniques.
Very important.
Very important. But things like shooting, right, it's such a essential part of the game. And so someone who goes for training, for example, they maybe shoot hundreds, thousands of shots a day, a week. Can you circumvent this overuse thing?
Definitely. You see, what training aims to achieve is to mimic scenarios of the game, okay, in a controlled environment and allow you to improve. So it's creating conditioning. So if you're a conditioned athlete, there's no issue. You will not get injured. Of course, you may have a bit of soreness and then you tend to get rested or you change your training regime. You know, there's a lot of gym work involved also. So you take time off, go to the gym, work it out, and then you are all right. So I think if you want or you aim to be an athlete which is progressive, then your conditioning also follows. So the training is actually creating you to perform ideally in a competition. So I think there's no issue about the number of hoops that you actually do it. If your technique is correct, you're fine.
What about games with smaller numbers of players, 3-on-3 compared to the full court size?
Yeah, I think these changes in the game are designed to make the game more interesting. You don't have to have too big a team. As a matter of fact, it's the even the court is cut down into half, if I'm not mistaken. And these changes are probably good because it continues. It's an evolution so that people continue to get interested in the game. It's happening even in other games like hockey, where, you know, from 11 aside, it's coming down and they're trying to cut down, make the field smaller. So it's easier and instills different skill sets because now you're playing with a smaller group of people and then it's a smaller area. So your dribbling skills have to become better. And your awareness of what's going on around you is also important. So I think that as there is an evolution in the game, most of the time is to make the game more interesting. Just like the change in the rules.
Just to come back a little bit to height, broadly speaking, does height affect your overall health and fitness? Because taller people, when they fall, they're going to go a lot further and the impact will be higher. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. No, I don't think that's it at all. I think falling safely. I mean, when you fall, you know...
Like parkour.
Yeah, it's like some... Yeah, it's the way you rotate your body and protect it, right? Of course, freak accidents do happen. But I don't think the taller you are, the more severe the injury. There's no such thing.
Because we talked about this earlier. You see professional football, the great players, the average height is somewhat trending down. But in basketball, they are only going taller and taller. Yeah. You know, you don't see that many championship-winning teams with small players.
Yeah, but I think don't concentrate on the fact that they are physically going taller. They are becoming more athletic. So, you know, traditionally, if you're taller, your movements tend to not be very athletic, right? It's a bit disjointed, but not now. They move as fast and as aggressively and as powerful as someone who's actually stocky and smaller. So the advantage of once the smaller player had to be, you know, he could zip around a bit more, even the bigger players are having. So in that sense, yes, if you're taller and you're as fast as the other guy, of course I'm going to select you. But I think that it is not only the single criteria. You have to have an explosively athletic tall player with a good reach. That means, you know, his arm span has to be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's a lot of other things that they have now considered. They have considered how broad your shoulders are because they look at the dynamics of motion. So there's so much of science in that the traditional outlook of, okay, only being tall and you're going to go into basketball, it doesn't play so much of a role.
So there are industries out there that look at your physique and then say, you are more suited to that sport, you're more suited to this sport.
I think definitely there are. I'm not too sure, but I feel that no matter how you channel a child based on physical characteristics, if the child is not interested in anything, it's not going to happen. Or they're going to take part in it for a while and then just fizzle out. So you don't have that continuation of involvement in the game. See, the greatest basketball players would go from playing to coaching to broadcasting to newscasting. Do you understand?
Yeah.
There's always a continuation of their involvement in the sports. So they are the ones who actually love every facet of the sport.
So in generally speaking, the human race is getting taller. Over the last 150 years, the average height of people in industrialized nations have increased by 10 cm. Would that have any effect on our musculoskeleton system?
No, definitely. Being tall and obese is a problem, just like being short and obese was once. I think that being tall, you also bring yourself to, you know, a statistically slightly higher chance of maybe lower back problems and all. But that is more because you do not condition that body well. You know, you just become a tall, overweight person. So, of course, with the nutrition, with the kind of healthy living that you know, the modern societies are embarking in most of the time. Yes, we are becoming taller. And I don't think that it's a big criteria in saying that, okay, as we get taller, we have these kind of worse injuries. No, nothing at all.
So to, I think, wrap up our discussion, for listeners who are tuning in, determined to pick up basketball and shoot hoops for the first time, what would your advice be?
I think that among, for me personally, among all the team sport, I think basketball is the game that challenges your athletic capacity and capability. Just like I always feel that the individual sports is squash. Okay, I mean, that's just me. But understand, like, any game that you get involved in, learning the rules, the technique, getting the appropriate attire allows you to get involved safely and play for the longest time. So I think if you want to go play basketball, it's good, because there are a lot of social leagues going around in Selangor, the state, the country. And you are actually right when you said that the taman will always have a basketball hoop. I just remembered, yeah, it's the same thing in my taman.
Yeah,
and there are kiddies just playing it up. Mm-hmm. Easy to set up, yeah. Very.
Multi-purpose as well.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Thank you very much for speaking to us.
Yeah, okay, welcome.
Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopaedic surgeon. You have been listening to Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.